Well, just the title of this message would be God Has Set Members in the Body from 1 Corinthians 12:18. If you want to go there, God has set members in the body. We'll just start with 1 Corinthians 12, the subject being how God has set members in the body, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. And I'm just going to pick apart this verse, word by word, almost. And I've divided it into about 7 main sections, but it could have been divided into more or less if you want to pick apart every preposition in it. But now, like preachers always say, now, and then they talk about now, but I think sometimes that's just a conjunction. So we need to back off of it. Anyway, so it's God has set members in the body, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:18. So God has set members. And I'll start off with the first word in that verse. Oh, God has set members in the body. God. And I'll highlight the pronoun that refers to Him again. He pleased. So God tells us whose decision it was to set members in the body. And this is important because it's not our decision where we're set or how we're set or the function we're set in. It's God's decision. God has set members in the body. Hebrews 12:2 says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So He's the author and the finisher, not ourselves. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The subject of that verse is I know the thoughts that I think toward you. But we like to see ourselves as the object, and that's true, toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The verse is definitely about us, but He's the subject and God's the author. God's the author and the finisher. So it's important to remember, and this can give us great joy because we're talking about our Creator here. We're talking about someone that made us. Not only did He make us, but He placed us in a body for a purpose and a function. Not only did He make us, He's the one that made us, but He's the one that gets to place us where we're supposed to be, which is pretty important and pretty wonderful. Because then we can trust Him. It's not some earthly decision or some whim or some emotion that's hooked us up where He wants us. That's a great thing. And you can look at this, look at the natural family as a parallel. Typically, a baby doesn't get to decide what family they're put in. You know, think about that a little bit. Natural often parallels the spiritual, and a baby doesn't have much choice in what family. Even it's very rare today that someone picks a family unless they're quite old, you know, teenage years and above. Even the government agrees that they probably shouldn't make that decision themselves. And we, being born into the body, God makes that decision for us. And if we'll yield to it, He sets us in a good place. So it's not really our decision, just like in the natural family, a baby doesn't have much choice in that. And we are a family, we know that from Ephesians 3, where Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we know we're a family and a body. And offense gives you no right to leave your earthly family. You know, if you got upset at your brothers and sisters, that's another aspect of the body that parallels the natural. If you got upset at your siblings when you were a kid, and all of us did, you couldn't just walk out. Some of us might have tried to put the little handkerchief on the stick and run away. That doesn't last very long, does it? I just thought about it, and I knew what it would be like spending a night in the woods, because I spent my days in the woods playing in abandoned rock quarries and things, and I didn't want to be there at night in the cold or the heat and with that stagnant water and mosquitoes. So that's anyway, it's something to keep in mind that the natural parallels the spiritual. So offense gives you no right to leave, but people in the body of Christ, they go, oh, I don't really care for the pastor's personality. I don't really like the way he taught that. But really, they have no doctrinal ground for leaving often, and offense causes them to leave. But we wouldn't do that in the natural. In fact, we often can't. And God, being like our Father, is like that dad that says, go ahead and try it, you know. I mean, God doesn't say that to us. He doesn't want us to leave. But that dad knows that those kids will come back. But he has rules, and he has a plan for that kid in a godly home, in a godly family. The father has a plan in the best case family. The problem is today is that the natural is so screwed up, it's difficult for us to see the parallels. Our natural families are they're not in the order that God set. And that's one of the reasons it's difficult in a teaching like this. If you talk about family, we have to see the way God ordained it and then go from the Word into our natural. And we have to make that transference from the Word into our natural lives to understand what God has done for the family and for the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is a family, we know from Ephesians 3, from whom the whole family. And we're starting, for those of you that just joined us, from 1 Corinthians 12, 18, God has set members in the body. And I'm just picking apart this verse in different sections. All right. And the second phrase I'd like to highlight, God has set. This is past tense, first of all, you notice, has set. God has set. It's past tense. He already did it. It's just a matter of us finding it. But God has an idea in mind for each one of us, a function and a role, a place in the body. He has a function. If you continue reading 1 Corinthians 12, and we don't have time to this morning, but if you read through the whole chapter, it's all about being one member of that body. God has set members. So has is in the past tense. He did it. He set and placed. And the word set is very much like we'd use it in the English, figuratively and literally. He set you, he placed you in every sense that we use that word in English. I looked it up and it says in every sense. He just set, he placed us. He placed us in the body. God set us. He set us, he put us there. He placed us. Some even say he ordained us, almost like he called us there. He anointed us to be in that place, so to speak. He gave his blessing on it. He set us. And then let's highlight the verse members to learn what we can from this word. God has set members. This word is used tons of times in the New Testament. It's also in Romans 6:19 where they say yield your member. It just means a part of the body. That's all it means. Arm, leg, foot, more unmentionables. You know, it's just a part of the body, a member of the body. And this shows me several things too. He didn't call us the head of the body. Which is a distinct, you know, he didn't specifically call us one part of the body. That's for us to determine with our walk with God. But we are a member. That much is clear. And this also shows us we're a distinct part of the body. We are not the whole. Only one is the whole, and that's Christ. In fact, Ephesians 1:23 says, the fullness of him, talking about the body collectively, we are the fullness of him who fills all in all. Only God fills. Only God is the all in all. We don't get to be that role. We only get to be a member. So that shows us we have to be part of a body because we're a member. A member cannot exist outside of the body. It is, by definition, a part of a whole. Whereas Christ is the whole and God is the whole. So we can't be away from the body. This pastor shared this in other words, someone trying to listen to a TV preacher, but he's not hooked up with any body. He's not functioning with any wholeness. He's absent from the body. Absent. He's absent without leave. Because we studied the word God. God has set members in the body. It wasn't our choice where we were, just like in a natural family. It wasn't our choice. So that shows us we're supposed to be a distinct member in a larger whole. This verse really points that out and clears that up, that word member. And God fills us all in all. And this demonstrates something else. If we're a member, it shows we're needed. Every part of your body is necessary. Even the appendix they're finding a use for now. They're saying, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't just throw that out. People can live without it. They can exist without it. But people are finding that it does have a possible role. Especially creationist scientists are digging into its role because other scientists have given up on it. And they're starting to find that it may have a role and an important role in the body. So it's just something to keep in mind. But that aside, that's only one member and one thing that's been discussed. But every part of the body, being a part of the body, must be necessary. You know, your fingers are there for a reason. These are obvious statements scientifically, but if we really believed them and applied them to the supernatural, the body would be much more whole because everyone would realize, I am needed. If you realize you're a member, and this word member just means a literal part of the body, you must be necessary. And so your absence is noticeable. Just like if I cut off my finger, I would notice. If I cut off my toe, I would notice. If Sean cut off my ear, I would notice. If I were missing a nose, I would notice. You know, if I were missing a leg, I would notice. We all notice. I hate when I walk by someone that's been injured and, you know, quadriplegic or paraplegic, and your heart goes out to them because you know it's not best. You know they're not whole. You know it's not God's best for them. And thank God they have these wonderful technologies these days, apart from the Spirit of God restoring someone's limb, that they put these limbs on. It almost makes them faster. That was a big debate in the last Summer Olympics. That guy, they made him whole artificially. Remember that guy? And they had to say, wait a minute, I think that spring on that artificial leg gives him an advantage. So there was a big debate. Is he running faster because of the limb or despite the limb? You know, and that was a big debate. Because we know that a body's supposed to be whole. Members are a necessity. And that word member can highlight that for us. And now I'll take us to the next phrase. Now God has set the members, each one of them. In case the members didn't tell you that you were necessary and that you were distinct and had a distinct role in the body, this word, each one of them, sets apart. That God has set up members in the body, each one of them. Each one of them. So he's distinguishing a separate part, meaning we can't just see ourselves as the whole. Christ is the only one who fills all in all. He is the whole. Christ totally is the whole. And we get to be a member. We get to be a member, each one of us. And that shows the necessity for each one of us. And then the next word we see in there is in the body. It's not next to or under. But this word is more like among. It's used in the same word, in the same sense that we use it in English. In all its senses, in. You know, think of all the things that are in. It's kind of like being in a pool, you know, in the summertime when you get in the water. And it feels cold at first, so you put your toe in. But I say, no, get in. I tell the kids, if you jump in, you'll be instantly acclimated sometimes. They don't always believe me, but I do it. I set the example. I jump in the deep end and boom, once my head's in and I start to move around, it's like, you know, now I'm kind of acclimated. I'm in the water. So it's unmistakable. I am in. My toe's not in. I'm not feeling the temperature. I'm in. And God set us in and among, just like a guy in that pool of water. We are in. God set us in the body. So that shows us if you don't come and if you're not among the body, you're not really in it. You're not fulfilling the best of this. You know, we're not fulfilling the best of this as we can unless we're really in the body and among it. And then body. There we go. Body. We are many parts of one body. If we are a body, there are some several things. If you're a body, it must mean you must have one purpose. You ever have your body have more than one purpose? I tell my body at work, you sit at this desk and you answer the phone. That's my body's role during that time. But sometimes nature calls. And then I have two purposes for my body. And eventually, I have to make up my mind. I can only have my body have one purpose. I've got to choose. Yesterday, some emergencies came up and the choice became more and more pressing. Emergencies were coming up on the phone and people ringing at work, and I had to set two purposes for my body. So someone had to be on hold, and I could no longer.
Hold.
Exactly. Yep. So I clicked that little button on the phone. I'll be right back with you. Call me in 15 minutes, I said. Yeah. 15 minutes? Well, that's a whole other subject. There you go. Okay, so body, we must have one purpose. And the body of Christ, isn't that the same? We've got to have one purpose. If you've got someone in the church that says, I like Pastor's idea about winning the lost, but I really have a ministry to puppies. You know, I really want to get all the pets. What about all the pets? What about all the pets in the world that don't know God and don't know a loving home? You know, I believe all our offerings should go to these pets and animal rescue. That's great. It's a good mission. It's nice to save a horse that's been treated poorly. But, you know, that's probably not the mission of this church. You know, pastors made it clear. We have to decide. We have to lean ourselves. We have to become lean and decide and choose a purpose and line up. Yeah, we have to choose a purpose for the body because the body doesn't do two purposes well. You know, as I've already pointed out. You know, have you seen someone sleepwalk? That's another example. That doesn't go well. That doesn't go well. Their body wants sleep, but they're walking. The body wasn't meant to have two purposes, either natural or spiritually. I saw my brother as a kid climb into his bunk bed. Only the thing he was climbing was my mom's china cabinet, given to her by great, you know, whoever back in the family. So he's trying to climb up on his china cabinet because he's sleeping and climbing. So the body does a lot better. It does one purpose a lot better. The body. We're in 1 Corinthians 12:18 for those of you just joining us. God has set members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And now I'm just tearing this verse apart, word by word, letting it highlight some things and some truths about our body, about the body of Christ. And that's why, juggling. If you're going to set the body on two purposes, then juggling is a good example of that. And video games. This is now an exception is growth and training. This is the only time you can get more than one purpose, so to speak, or you can. I'll give you an example. Have any of you ever tried video games? You tried the first time you do it. Your eye has to look at the image on the screen. Your brain has to think, I push this lever to the left to get this guy to turn. And you have to think. But through training and playing that game, your thought instantly translates to your action. It takes training to get the body to fulfill its purpose and to do more than one thing. Because you're thinking and you're focused on the screen, but you're also supposed to be moving this control. So with training, you can exact the purpose, so to speak. You can define the purpose. The first time I grabbed some Bond video game, I was with Pastor's son, Eric, and he had one of those 007 games. And I'm standing like this, spinning around in a circle, looking up while he's just shooting at me and laughing, and I was dead in about 5 seconds. And it took me till I think we got one of those older games like a year ago, and now I can move that guy without looking down or straight up. But that took practice. Another thing is riding a bike. We take it for granted if we're older and been riding a bike, but when you're first teaching a toddler to ride a bike, they're focused on the pedals, and they're looking looking down at the pedals, and they're watching their feet move. And I go, just look up and let your feet do the walking. It's not that complicated to rotate your feet, you know. So just look up, I tell them, watch where you're going, and then you'll start to focus on one thing. So that purpose kind of brings the training into line. And so the body can multitask, but especially when it's trained together. And that's a good, if we carry that over into the supernatural, what can the church accomplish if it's working together constantly? If they're not separate, and if they're remaining in, there's the pronoun in this verse, God has set members in the body. If they believe God, their creator, has set them in the body, and they have that purpose, and then they resist the temptation to leave the body and to become a separate limb. An arm is no good off the body. You know, if someone gets their head is no good off the body. If someone gets their arm cut off, no one's really worried about that person. They can't accomplish God's will for them, and that arm can accomplish nothing. No one walks by a limb separate from the body with any fear, because that limb can accomplish nothing. That limb can accomplish nothing. It was meant to be part, and we are called members of the body. So if you're separate from a body, you're not fulfilling God's best for you. We are fulfilling his best when we're functioning with one. Then we become like the child riding the bike in a fluid motion towards one purpose, wherever they're headed. Then that bike becomes a tool. Or like the person on the video game, they can win the game because they've trained their body to line up with all its parts. Their eye and their brain and their hand all work together. Hand-eye coordination, we talk about that all the time. That's an example of all the members of the body, the hand and the eye working together. I had this down when I was a kid. I used to practice with sticks. So if someone was running away from me and he had done wrong to the other brothers and sisters, I would throw a stick and trip him up. I got real good at throwing sticks. I was a little redneck boy. I didn't have much else. So I got really good at throwing sticks at people. not a desirable trait in a kid, maybe, but it worked. You can train yourself to do anything with that training. Hand-eye coordination, sticks, so that little Dwayne was on the ground. Whatever his name was. Some kid in our neighborhood. Hand-eye coordination. And the next word is God has set them. We talked about God. We talked about has set, past tense. We talked about members. Each one of them actually specifies that each member set. And then the next phrase, just as he pleased. This is really the part I love to get to. Back on the other subject, let me finish a thought there. God's thoughts are instantly manifested in the body when it's used to functioning together, was a phrase that I just put together based off of that. God's thoughts are instantly manifested in the body when it's used to functioning together. Just like the person with the video game controller. When we're used to functioning together and we're each in our proper role, God's thoughts are more instantly manifested. So during corporate worship or during a Wednesday night that's more of a believer service, God's thoughts can be instantly manifested in the body the more they're used to working together. So the hand's not saying to the eye, I'd rather be you, or the foot's not saying to the leg, I'd rather be a larger part. That's so when we're used to functioning together and we all have our part, then things are more instantly manifested. God's will is more instantly enacted, just as our brain choosing to ride a bike is more instant once our body parts are used to functioning on that bike in coordination. And so let's get to pleased. Excuse me. God has set members in the body just as He pleased. It's not just as He decided, or this word can mean decided, willed. Another translation says right where He wanted it. And another one says where He willed it, where He willed it. But it's intended, and He delights in it. He's pleased. It's something that He wanted to do. Which is the most joyful part of this verse, I think, is that God set members in the body just as He pleased. I'm so glad that He's happy I'm functioning in the body of Christ. And He's happy you're functioning in the body of Christ. Even if your role is to get fed right now. We talked about babies placed in a body. They don't have a lot of choice over where they're placed. None of us had many choices on the family we were placed in. God knew. And He had a plan for us, like Jeremiah 29 says. We knew that He had a place for us and that His thoughts toward us are good. But it's as He pleased, it's as He decided, it's as He intended it, it's as He willed it. And now all we have to do is go and find out His will. That takes a little bit more spiritual effort or soulish effort. You have to say, hey, I'm going to spend time praying, I'm going to spend time studying. The more time you spend with God, your Creator, the more He'll reveal to you your place in the body. You'll have an inclination towards serving in a certain area. Maybe it's giving. Like my brother, he's not incredibly involved in the church, but he is a generous giver. And I believe if he were in a body hooked up, and he may be now, I haven't talked to him in a few years. We just have that kind of relationship, you know. We don't talk that often, but when we do, it's always fresh and good, and there's no grudges or anything like that going on. So we just have good fellowship. If he's in a body, I believe one of his roles would probably be gifted to just be generous. He could support missions in a large way. And you all know people like that, that have a certain gifting and a certain talent. And our goal is to find it. Our goal is to just find that and then be in it. And that's what I've got on that. God has set members in the body. So to review, it's God's choice, not ours. It's God's choice where He sets us in the body. It's God's choice our function also. You'll see later He talks about different giftings, and there is God wills. It's God's choice our function in the body. We reviewed that He set the members, that we have to be a member. We can't be outside of the body and believe that we'll have a glorious Christian walk. He designed us to be a member of a whole. God is the only whole. He is the only whole unto Himself, and He chooses to use the body. He fills it all in all. He fills it all in all. We do not get to fill the body all in all. We can't do everything. We weren't designed that way, just like a husband and wife. God said that man should not be alone. It's good that he have a helper. And then we fulfill each other in marriage or a covenant. And something I didn't get into, but this is very parallel throughout Scripture. Your service in the body of Christ is very similar to a marriage covenant. When we as members join, even though we're submitting to God and He has a place in mind, He also may have had Elon in mind for me. There are different theologies on that, whether there's a set one that you have to find on the earth. I mean, I went all the way to Sweden on a trip and basically I found her. And God just led me to do that trip. I had no other reason for being there. I still have no desire to go back other than to visit in-laws. And that's always a mixed blessing, of course, you know. Once you're there, and my family's a mixed blessing too when we go there, in fairness to Elon. But you know, that's a, Excuse me. I say all that to say, where was I? Yeah, is that there's a deep parallel there. It's a commitment. It's a covenant. Sometimes only your level of commitment to the body keeps you there, just like in a marriage. When you have a big disagreement or a big argument, Bernard stated that, and I like that statement, that it's your commitment that keeps you in the marriage. And sometimes that's all. It's not because you feel good or because the personality is just so wonderful and so complimentary. That's not enough. Sometimes it's the commitment that keeps us, and it's the same in the body. If we separate ourselves, we become that arm sitting on the sidewalk, useless. An arm by itself is so pathetic looking. It's dead, it's lifeless, it's gray or black and dead. It's lifeless. It can do no good separate from the body. And we are called members. God has set members. If God called us members, we're useless to think that we're able to go have some TV preacher that we have no connection to fulfill our full purpose in God. You may be blessed by that because he's a member of the universal body and he's called to teach or preach, and you can be blessed by that, but you are to be in a body and be blessed. We are to be in a body and be blessed. And since God, our creator, set us there, there's great joy in that. And because he's pleased to set us there, there's even greater joy. He's so glad where he put us. It's such a wonderful thing. God's so glad where he put us, where he hooked us up. He's so happy. He was pleased to set us. It's a really good thing, and it takes the pressure off of us. Like once I knew I was called to Aaron, there's no pressure there. We can just love each other, you know? And it just like once you know you're called, you find that spouse that you believe you got peace about and you marry them. There's that commitment, but there's not a binding or a force. A marriage covenant's different. Different than just being born into a family. You know, we talk about the difference of that a lot. She'd say, oh, you remind me of so-and-so. But I remind her of her mom, and she's similar to my dad. So it's, you know, every couple's like that. You all have similarities. And then you look at, where's I going with that? You know, you've got that relationship with your siblings. You're much more forgiving because you can't do anything about them. In a marriage, you can leave, and you know that's always an option. It's an ugly option, and it has nothing to do with God's plan for you, but it's always an option. With family, you can't get away from them. That guy's still your brother, that woman's still your sister, and they're still going to come back, and they're still going to have a desire to make things well. So in the natural, that's true. And there are some parallels in the spiritual. You're called to a body. God set you there, just like you now believe the spouse you're with, you're called to. But that doesn't change the fact that you have to keep recommitting and have to keep choosing, and you'll be tempted. You'll be tempted to go elsewhere to fulfill God's call on your life. You'll be tempted to go elsewhere, but it's not right. And when we yield to God's purpose to set us in the body where he has us and to set us where he has us, then we're truly fulfilled. And then we keep that joy. And we're as pleased as he is to be a member and to be there. My hand's real happy to be here. If I cut it off and tried to, what'd you call that, grafting? They graft some skin. Sometimes that turns out a little funny, too. You know, sometimes if you take skin from a place that's a little bit rougher and you put it in a place that's a little bit tender, that skin might not line up well. And if I take this hand and I try to put it where my ear is, it's not going to look quite natural unless I'm a moose and I do both of them. You know, so it's not going to look natural, is it? So we don't want to separate. We want to function. And then there's joy there. I like it when my body's functioning together. All the parts are functioning together. And I work. You know when you get an ailment, how awful that feels? Because it takes one member out of alignment. And you get one ailment. One organ goes wrong. One organ gets infected or something. And how awful that feels. And your whole body. You may have something in your stomach. I think my father-in-law had something in his back. But it was really related to circulation in his heart. But he had this back trouble, so he'd always feel cold all the time. He'd do all these different things. I never saw a man without a sweater. The guy had a sweater in the heat of summer. Mind you, Swedish summers aren't near as intense as they are here. They're like, you know, 65 to 80 most of the time. But he always had a sweater on. And he thought, man, these pains in my back, that's really, these pains in my back. So he was going to these muscle therapy and getting all kinds of treatments. Then he realized there was something in his heart that affected all the muscles around it and that pulled at that. And so we, you know, That's just a demonstration of the body is glad and it functions best when all the members function together and they find their place. And this takes training and practice. It takes each individual member committing, but it is possible and it pleases God and it's God's will and He said it. I love that the choice was His. We can take a lot of comfort in that. It can be annoying if you're resisting that. You know, if you're resisting that and something in your soul isn't clicking with His purpose for you. But once you find that purpose, it can be a joy. I tell friends of mine that are, you know, just in the church here when we're talking about something, I say, do what you can do with joy. Because that fulfills that scripture. God is pleased to set us there. And we should be pleased. Do what you can do with joy. If something's grating on you as you're serving in this local body here, those of you who are members here, if you're serving here and something's grating on you, and that could be a time to reconsider and say, what can I do with joy? Like maybe it's holding babies and just showing them love down in the nursery. Maybe that just gives you a lot of joy. Maybe working with kids, like Mary with the crafts. You know, that it just, you can tell she's got a joy, a knack for it. Maybe it's ushering where you're like, man, I got a busy work schedule, but I can carry that bucket once a week. I can carry that bucket and I'm a giver and I'm believing for those buckets to be filled and for the church's needs to be met. I'm going to serve and do that. What you can do with joy is where there's a greater just that oomph and that power behind it. It's like a car operating on all of its cylinders or a body functioning together. It's the same thing. So find what you can do with joy. And some of you may sit here, this teaching's so new. When my wife first came over, when I first came into Word of Faith Circle from a Baptist church, it was in Virginia. It was just time to be fed. I didn't usher. I didn't do anything. This stuff was new, and I was like a sponge, just soaking up all the newness. That was my role. I was being fed like a newborn baby. And when Elin got over here and the teaching was a little bit new, she was in a Swedish kind of Pentecostal, the equivalent of a Swedish Assemblies of God church. They had a lot of teaching, but they also didn't have a lot of teaching, depending on the subject. And so she sat here and heard a lot of new things. And so it was, people said, hey, Elin can do this. What's she gifted at? But I said, no, she's a sponge right now. She's just taking it all in. And she was adapting to a whole new culture. So we just let her adapt and absorb and sponge it up. And some of you may be at that stage, and that's wonderful. But do it. Do that with joy and just receive. And if each of us find that place, it's going to be, it's just a wonderful thing. It's very pleasing to God, very pleasing to us. And remember what we said about the function and the purpose. A body can only have one purpose usually at one time. And that purpose will become more whole, and this church will achieve its individual purpose. And it has a greater role in the city of St. Paul. There are other churches. If they do their purpose and we do our purpose, we'll all be like this. This has a centered on teaching. This ministry is centered on sound, solid word teaching. And thank God for that. That's its purpose and its definite focus. It's always been a focus of it, and it's just a big pool. So this body aligns with that purpose, and it has some other fringe things and things that are going on, but that's always been the main bent of it.